A critical infrastructure company serving hundreds of millions of homes just filed an 8K disclosing it was hacked. That's not a threat model exercise. That's Monday Morning.
Welcome to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves.
It's Monday, April 27th, 2026, and we have a dense one today. The Itron breach, the AI vulnerability discovery gap that's about to break most security teams, new research rewriting the history of nation-state OT attacks, a Cisco acquisition that tells you where identity security is headed, HIPAA fines that should be on your CFO's desk, and a developer supply chain campaign that flew under the radar for too long. Let's get into it.
So Itron, for anyone who doesn't immediately recognize the name, this is the company behind the smart meters and monitoring infrastructure in water and energy utilities across hundreds of millions of homes and businesses. They disclosed unauthorized third-party access to internal systems via an SEC 8K filing over the weekend. No confirmed operational disruption yet, but the filing itself tells you the legal team assessed this as material.
And that's the first thing I'd flag for anyone listening, the 8K trigger. Itron made a judgment call that this clears the materiality bar under the SEC's incident disclosure rules. That's not a technicality. That's a signal. If you're a CISO at a utility, at a municipality, or at any organization with Itron in your supply chain, your question this week is, what data, what credentials, what network access did Itron hold that touches your environment?
The IT-OT segmentation question is real here. Itron sits at the seam between enterprise IT and operational infrastructure. A breach of their internal systems doesn't automatically mean meter networks are compromised, but the attack surface for lateral movement into customer environments is worth mapping right now. Don't wait for Itron's investigation to conclude.
Agreed. Vendor notification letters are coming, eventually. Don't let that be your trigger to start the assessment.
Let's move to the research that rewrites history a little. Security researchers have identified a piece of malware called Fast16 that appears to predate Stuxnet and may have been used to target Iran's nuclear program. If that's confirmed, it pushes the start date of nation-state ICS sabotage operations back meaningfully. We're talking about a timeline that predates what most people treat as the origin point of this category of threat.
The strategic implication here isn't historical curiosity. It's that nation-state actors have been developing and deploying ICS-targeted capabilities for longer than most OT security programs have even existed. If you're defending industrial infrastructure and your threat model starts at Stuxnet, you're already behind the curve on dwell time assumptions, detection gaps, and the sophistication of what's already potentially in your environment.
Exactly. Fast16 is a reminder that these programs have institutional memory. They iterate, they go dormant, and the teams defending critical infrastructure need to assume adversary capabilities that are significantly older and more patient than the incident reports suggest.
Now let's talk about something that I think is the most strategically significant story of the week, even though it reads like a product news item. Anthropic's Claude Mythos preview has been live for about 3 weeks, and the security community has been wrestling with what it actually means in practice. The headline from the Hacker News today is blunt. Mythos changed the math on vulnerability discovery, and most teams aren't ready for the remediation side.
This is the asymmetry problem. AI-driven discovery at scale means the front end of the vulnerability management pipeline just got dramatically more productive. That sounds good until you realize your remediation capacity, the developers, the patch processes, the SLAs, the prioritization workflows, hasn't changed. You've widened the intake valve without touching the drain.
I've been thinking about this as a debt acceleration problem. Most organizations are already carrying remediation backlogs they can't close. Mythos class tooling doesn't solve that. It accelerates the accumulation. And when your board asks you about vulnerability exposure, you're going to have a much harder time explaining why you have 10 times the findings and the same closure rate.
The teams that get ahead of this are the ones having the resource conversation now, not after they've run the tool, generated 3,000 findings, and watched their SLA compliance crater. The question to take to your CISO peers, what does your prioritization model look like when vulnerability volume doubles or triples? If the answer is, we'll triage harder, that's not an answer.
Related to that talent conversation, Harvey Nash dropped a workforce survey today that every CISO should print out and bring to their next HR meeting. 75% of cybersecurity staff are pessimistic about pay. Half are actively job hunting. Half.
And that's not a surprise if you've been paying attention, but the timing is brutal. You've got AI tools creating more work, not less. You've got an expanding attack surface, and you're trying to retain the people who actually know where the bodies are buried in your environment, which is irreplaceable institutional knowledge, while competing against companies that are paying significantly above market.
This is a board conversation, not an HR conversation. If half your security team is interviewing elsewhere, that is an operational risk that belongs in your risk register. Frame it that way.
A few items worth moving through at speed. First, HHS OCR just handed out $1.7 million in HIPAA fines across four organizations, a medical imaging provider, a women's healthcare group, a health plan, and a third-party insurance administrator. the violation in every case, inadequate or non-existent security risk analysis.
OCR has been beating this drum for years. Risk analysis failures are the single most cited HIPAA violation, and regulators keep finding the same gap after every ransomware investigation. If you're in healthcare or adjacent to it, this is your documentation audit moment. The fine isn't the real cost. It's that OCR found ransomware and no defensible risk analysis. That combination is what escalates from fine to consent decree.
On the supply chain front, researchers uncovered 73 fake VS Code extensions on the OpenVSX repository tied to an info-stealing campaign called Glasswarm. 6 confirmed malicious, the rest acting as sleepers or decoys. These are cloned versions of legitimate extensions. Developers install them thinking they're getting the real thing.
Developer tooling as an attack vector is not new, but the scale here matters. VS Code is everywhere. If you don't have an extension governance policy, an approved list, enforcement at the IDE level, monitoring for unapproved installs, this is a gap that could put source code and CI/CD credentials at risk. Your dev teams are a high-value target. Treat their environments accordingly.
Now for the acquisition story. Cisco is reportedly in talks to acquire Asterisk Security, a non-human identity startup, for somewhere between $250 and $350 million. That's a meaningful premium on their last valuation.
Non-human identities, service accounts, API keys, OAuth tokens, machine credentials, are the identity management problem most organizations have barely started solving. The ratio of non-human to human identities in a typical enterprise is now somewhere between 10 to 1 and 50 to 1, depending on how cloud-native you are. If Cisco closes this deal, it signals that NHI is graduating from niche product category to core platform feature. Watch how this affects your Cisco negotiations and your identity architecture roadmap.
And briefly on the risky business roundup from today, two items worth flagging. First, there's a new fingerprinting technique that can de-anonymize Tor users. For most enterprise CISOs, this is background noise, but for anyone with threat intelligence operations or staff using anonymization infrastructure for sensitive research, that anonymity assumption just got weaker. Second, the US router ban has been expanded to include Wi-Fi hotspots. That's supply chain hygiene at the network edge, worth a review of what's deployed in remote offices and field locations.
So what's the theme coming out of Tay? I think it's capacity. Every major story this week is a capacity problem in disguise. Itron is about the capacity of critical infrastructure vendors to secure their own environments. Mythos is about the capacity of security teams to remediate what AI discovers. The workforce data is about the capacity of organizations to retain the people doing the work. The HIPAA fines are about the capacity, or failure, to document risk analysis properly.
The adversaries are scaling. The tools are scaling. The regulatory expectations are scaling. The question every CISO should be asking this week is, what's my actual throughput? Not what's my posture on paper. What can my team actually process, validate, and close in a given sprint?
If the answer makes you uncomfortable, that discomfort belongs in front of your board. That's the conversation that unlocks budget.
Watch the Itron investigation this week. If scope expands into customer environments, this gets significantly more complex for utility CISOs.
That's clear text for Monday, April 27th. If this was useful, share it with a peer who needs the brief. We're back tomorrow. Stay sharp.